What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Put It In The Books show.
Puto in the books.
Show.
Did you say,
I heard. Oh, my God. That's the worst impersonation of an echo I've ever heard.
I am Steve. God. Is this like a thing today?
Sucks.
I got Keith right there. My left, your right. Swagga. Keith, what's up, man?
Swagga.
I got Rodriguez Swagga. Right down here.
Howdy.
What's up, man? How's it going? How's
what's
it hanging?
Up? What's up?
It's hanging. All right. Producer Joe good. Back from vacation. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Joe.
And
Producer yep. Joe. Hey, not too much noise, though.
Yeah, you gotta keep it down.
So wait, producer Joe.
No noise.
He is in Al Capone's vault. Geraldo Rivera found him.
He's in my wall.
That's an old person joke. I think only Rodriguez and Joe might know that. I'm not sure.
See why you have
Karachi knows that one.
I didn't even answer your joke, just to not to date myself. But
well,
yes,
you're the
I know
senior
the joke.
Of the group.
Thanks. I know the joke.
Joe.
All right.
Joe.
All right. This is going to be a good one, guys. So as we do, let's go around robin real quick. Talk about what's been going on in your wonderful lives over the last week.
Such a
minus
life.
Baseball, Keith. Keith, minus baseball. No sports. That's what we're going with this one. So
well,
your Mets life.
Have, but baseball is my life. So I hate when you say that. I cannot subtract it.
Dems so, be the rules.
So
tell him, Joe, Joe, tell
aside
him it's
from baseball, absolutely wow. Nothing. No, everything's been good, man. You know,
rules.
Family's
rules.
Healthy. Work's rules. Going well. Rules. And my dog is got a little something going on. I know you're sharing some of that too, Farach, which is upsetting. He's fine though, you know, but still sucks. And other than that, life is good.
Life is good. Rodriguez, what about yourself? I know it's hard to stay away from Mets talk, but
my dog's a pain in the ass, just like everybody else in the family. So they're all fine. But thanks for asking.
It's the
business, Farachi.
Asking. Okay? It's the PETA crew.
The douche crew.
Right.
Hey, Joe. Dude. Joe, what about you?
How is
vacay? And your 63rd wedding anniversary?
Yes. 32 years and had ancient, a great time. Ancient, Fort Myers ancient, Beach. Ancient. Old. Dust.
In the wind.
Shriveled up penis.
We did talk last week about how I was only 8 years older than you have been married.
Shriveled.
On that note.
And you couldn't tell, you know, because Joe looks pretty young, to be honest.
He does.
This is just a young looking 75.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, for real, I was 10.
Old thinking, you know.
The Mets were winning the World Series when you got married.
Almost.
We were dating. Yeah.
3 years?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were dating.
Oh,
don't ruin 35. Don't ruin the 80s by reminding me of that.
Speaking of 80s, real quick, I decided to tell Amazon, hey, play some 80s rock. I what comes on. It comes on with Guns N' Roses. I was like, holy crap, I grew up with this. I'm freaking old.
I love Guns N' Roses.
I'm like, wow. I remember going to camp and hearing that. Just forget it. It was terrible.
All right. my week was just fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, we were
producer Joe. Producer Joe, what do you say we go ahead and get this bad boy started now?
Put it in the books.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Put in the Book show, season 4, episode number 12. And this, gents, is actually our 125th episode. Well, cheers to that.
What?
Wow.
A little cheers to that.
We are.
Wow. A little cheers to that. Wow.
We are a century and
I've made no money.
All right, Barbara, welcome in. We appreciate you joining us. Now, bear with us tonight because yesterday there was some.
Joe, you should probably mute your mic.
Producer Joe.
Yeah. Sorry, the whiskey. Sorry. Whiskey.
Yesterday, because there was a couple
That's
shows.
That's the first. Wait a minute. You can't let that go. That's the first. Lares, Keith Lares is correcting Producer Joe on something on the show. That's a first. Well done, Keith.
Whiskey.
Well done,
whiskey.
Young man.
That's a good thing there.
What's up, Tim?
He raises his eyebrows.
Keep him in the wall. If you don't keep him tight in the wall,
yeah,
he
that's
gets
true.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. He gets loose. He gets, you know, antics start going on.
It's all about that.
I got Geraldo to dig you out of Capone's wall.
So a couple shows that have been done on the network in the last couple of days, there were some issues with the commenting. So, you know, if we don't talk about your comment, we might just not be seeing it. And so that's been an issue. There's a known issue. It's Facebook. You know, they don't always appreciate us for what we do for them, for what we do for this community.
They really have
a lot of nerve. And to talk about that lot of nerve, let's send it over to Keith to talk some Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters.
He's got a lot of nerve.
BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. When your nerves are numb, drink a cup of BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com, and your nerves will be alive with caffeine. So for all you cocaine addicts out there, and you still want a little bit of a rush, you can go out there and you put 50% more caffeine in every cup of coffee by going to www.BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. They have a thing out there. It's a thing. You can put 50% more caffeine per cup.
A little thing.
Per CUP cup, protective cup, no, coffee cup. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com is amazing. They have everything you desire in coffee, and they handpick their beans. They only pick select the most beautiful, delicious beans straight from the bean farm for you.
Sexy
beans. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think Chris over at BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com had a little deal going on with Juan Valdez, and the beans were coming up on the donkey straight for all of you. So check them out now at BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com.
The donkey.
They had to smuggle it, so the donkey ate it, out, donkey. They washed it, but still good. Check them out.
Beans.
There is a ton of flavors out there that you will enjoy, such as Hannah Banana. Speaking of bananas. And we had a little discussion about bananas before the show started, right?
Yeah, no, we did not.
We didn't? Oh, okay.
It was a banana.
You guys may have. You
it was 23% caffeine per
keep
cup.
Your bananas to
something
yourself,
like that, anyway. Check them out, www.BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. A couple of flavors they have out there at www. Oh, look, Farachi's done. I'm stalling. I don't need to stall. Dark roast, dark chocolate. Delicious, amazing coffee with a dark chocolate roasted flavor. And dark chocolate has to be really terrible for you, right, Farach?
Zero calories.
Boom. Zero. It's not bad for you at all. You can have 3, 4, 7 cups. Like I said, if you're ex-cocaine addict, you're a meth addict, you're trying to clean up, drink 5 cups of
it. It looks like that. You're a meth addict.
There's also non-flavored coffee, dark roast, light roast, medium roast. You'll love it all.
Roast
I'm trying to get my head above the banner. I felt like it was
high. You got to do a chin up there, Keith.
www.BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com. From the roaster to your front door, only to find his beans are selected for your pleasure. Check them out now. And when you go out there, put 2 bags in your cart. And the third one's on us, baby. Pop Culture Pros.
Not your mother-in-law
and
your other mother-in-law.
Pop Culture Pros. Again, it's guaranteed to ship within 24 hours of its roast date. And the web address is... I'm not saying it again. I said it too much. And if you weren't paying attention, it's your fault.
Too bad.
Let's go Mets.
Too bad. Wonderful. So sad.
Wonderful.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the New York Metropolitans.
About time. What is it? We're 9 minutes into the show.
That's it. You know?
What a fart knocker.
What are we talking about? Fart. Coffee, echoes. Who knows? Bunch of junk.
Bunch of penises.
No. All right. So obviously, lots to talk about for Mets wise here. I did want to lead off. No pun intended. I did want to lead off with a quick story, and it is has a little bit to do with Carlos Beltran, our favorite Mets center fielder.
Are you seriously really going to talk about him?
Real quick. So a brand new book hit bookshelves. Do we still say that? On Tuesday, by a former Mets beat writer, Andy Martino. So he has written a book called Cheated, and it's about the entire Astros scandal. Yeah, you don't like him, right? Or you call me a dweeb?
I'm not Martino.
Yeah, he is.
No, not you.
So it very interesting how he talks about how Beltran was as a person, as a player, and whatnot. And so he's got a lot of insider information, not just from him, but there's a couple other people that contributed to this. And the consensus really is that Beltran was the only player that was named in the scandal, because there were several people in Major League Baseball front office that did not like him for two reasons. One of them was he was able to, I guess it's like a something that you, like a Senate type thing, or you pass a bill or whatnot. But so he was ultimately responsible for every Major League Baseball team having to have a salaried employee for translator. He felt that it was, it was unfair to the folks that, you know, maybe just come over from another country and whatnot. So that's one. And then there was another. I can't remember what the other thing was, but it was two things that caused the owners to have to spend more money, and so he was kind of looked down upon, and he had signed an agreement or of some sort saying that his salary to be the Mets manager was going to be donated, 100% of it was going to be donated to charities, because one of the questions that was asked of him in an interview was, you've made all this money, why on God's green earth would you want to manage the New York Mets? Which I took a little exception to. But he said, I want to make a difference in these young ballplayers' lives, and, you know, it's not about the money, and that's why he did that thing with the charity. So could it be a
cover-up?
Very interesting. Could that's what I'm saying. Could be a little bit of a cover-up, but, you know, some of these insiders, they dig up some things that eventually you're like, no way, and then it becomes true, and you're like, oh, crap.
Well, it's right. Like whoever smelt it dealt it, whoever smoked his fire, you know, but...
Did you just fart?
I did.
Was that noise?
Now,
okay.
Let me address the first thing, okay?
We're not in the same studio anymore.
If that is the case... Where you loved it, you'll inhale my methane. Let me take the first thing, right? So if that is the case where they're saying, well, they're pissed off at him because he was responsible for translators being hired, salaried for every club.
What's that got to do with cheating?
I'm addressing each point he said, right? To me, it has nothing to do with cheating. It has to do with them railroading him because they didn't like him, right? And one of the reasons why I didn't like him is for that. So you can all take your racist asses to the bank, because every Hispanic player that comes up and kills it in Major League draws crowds and makes you so much money, 10, 20, 30-fold, probably whatever you're paying the salary translator. So you could take your – to me, that's racism. That's racist. That's stupid. You need to get over yourselves. And number two, the whole entire, I'm going to donate my whole entire salary, all that. Maybe it is true. And I honestly think Beltran would have done a decent job. I'm glad it worked out the way it did, because I think the Mets got the right man at the helm right now. And I'm, you know, it's unfortunate. He's a cheater. It worked out the way it did. But at the end of the day, for once, the chips fell where they should have fallen for us. Prior to us getting locked into a contract with this schmo,
yeah,
and in the middle of a season, normally it would be like All-Star break and things like this break out. We were able to kind of avoid that kind of mess. So those are my two points on that. And I'm going to give a third point. Who gives a shit? Excuse my language. But anyway, there you go.
All the people buying the book. So Rodriguez. Number yes. one, this is a rhetorical question because I already know the answer. Does this make you feel any? Does this make you feel bad about anything? And the other thing is that very pertinent in the book also, that just, I mean, it just digs him a deeper hole, is that he's the one who came in and said to the Astros front office, I knew all your signs last year. Here's what we got to do. And him and Cora got together and designed it and planned it.
So he's a crook.
Yes.
He admitted to it.
He's a
cheater.
Well, I don't know if I don't know. I haven't read the book, but I did listen to an hour-long interview about it.
Well, think of it this way. So, if you're able to pick up a team signs, that's on the team, not him.
Listen, oh, yeah, yeah.
Listen, it's not trash can thing is on, that. You know. It's not even about that. First of all, he should have swung, okay? He should have swung, okay? I don't care what you say about anything else. I'm never going to let that go. He should have swung Paracci. He should have swung Lares. He should have swung Producer Joe. He should have swung. He should have swung. First and foremost.
He should have fucking swung.
He should have, see? Producer Joe even said it. Second of all, they caught him. He was a cheater. He was a cheater with the Skankies. The Skankies were cheating at the time. He was a cheater with the Astros. Bingo. I'm glad that people are getting things because of him. If he did that translator thing, and I guess he must have done it, that's a wonderful thing that he did. However, I could look at it the other way. It's a, make these son of a guns learn English. I mean, seriously, they're going to be in the league 15 years and they're still going to need a translator. After a while, it's got to go because, you know, look, I came in here. I didn't know any lick of English. I learned it. So everybody should, you know, pick up your boots and learn some English, damn it. However, it's a wonderful thing.
Stevie
what
G,
else did he do that was nice? What else did he do that was nice? He
there donated was one other to charity. I can't remember. No,
he's going to donate a salary to charities separate. Or whatever. That's a wonderful thing, too, I guess. He's got to make up for the cheating. He's got to fill his soul up with good deeds because otherwise he's going to hell because he should have swung.
He should have swung. George said that's called being smart. Yes, should have swung, but would have missed. Likely, but at least he would have swung. It was a nasty curveball, but at least he would have went down swinging.
Look like an idiot swinging, but swing like a man. Don't just stay there with it up your, you know.
Yeah,
it wasn't a Lord Charles, but it was a good. It was a good curve,
dude. That curve was nasty. Okay, that was a nasty. It snapped. Curve.
Yeah, it wasn't the 12-6, but it was.
I would have just jumped in front of it and got hit.
And Conforto, you know, you just hit the ball, it's in the strike zone.
Dove at it. I don't know anything.
Well, with those elbow pads, you can get a base hit. Be like,
yeah, dink. Yeah. All right, so we move on from that, and
Thank you for that, guys.
We got to have a quick conversation about the potential scandal that's going on right now with the pitchers and the illegal substances and the I don't know if it should bring a smile to my face or just me cringe at Cole's response to that question. Holy crap, that was the worst, most disastrous response to anything I've ever heard in my life.
Don't have him be a witness for you at a trial, that's for sure.
Did you hear that some of the reporters thought that his internet froze?
Yeah, and
it was awkward. Okay, so I thought it was hysterical, but the first time I watched it, and in our Put in the Books group chat, just for all of you, I had mentioned that I watched it 4 or 5 times because it was so different than anything I would have expected. And that whole silent pause, the first time I saw it was awkward for me. I'm like, say something, dude. Like,
it was weird.
Yes.
It was weird. That means he busted. He knows. He cheats.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but listen, guys.
And then he said the older guys passed it down to the younger guys. And so he's blaming on.
Hitters use batting gloves for a better grip on the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we got some good comments out there for this.
So what?
Oh, yeah.
George says, a laughable disaster.
It was bad.
Mama Frost says, okay. A no response response. And Stevie G says, his brain just froze. Good job, guys.
All those things probably happened.
Well, so the stuff that they are accused of using is used for weightlifting competitions. So, you know, people don't die when you're holding up 7 million pounds over their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now it's seemingly running rampant around baseball, and to the point where they had that little thing with DeGrom, and all his teammates were coming in to defend him, and then lo and behold, spin rates start dropping from Cole. Spin rates start dropping from Bauer. Haven't heard that from DeGrom's starts, so that's a pretty good indication that he's not like the other. So
they're different pitchers, anyway.
So before we move or jump to somewhere else on this, let me just pose something to you guys and to get your thoughts on it. Okay. A better grip is not a bad thing necessarily, right? So what if baseball and the Players Association come to an agreement on things that can be used for a better grip? Because obviously they're using things that are just over the top ridiculous, right? So you find a medium ground because the batters are okay with the pitchers getting a better grip. And obviously the pitchers are okay with getting a better grip. So why not find a better, you know, a middle ground? Not a rosin bag. Get a grip on the situation. Ba-dum-bum. Good job, Farage. Seriously, but what do you think, Rodriguez?
I think baseball should come up with a substance that the pitchers can use that improves their grip.
I agree 100%.
Or take the batter's batting gloves away and let them swing away like that. See how it feels. I mean, it's a little ridiculous, but there should be a standard. And this is the standard you use, and that's it. That way there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this is a better grip, this gives you this, this does this, this makes the ball move that way. Because you don't want to put a substance on the ball that'll make it move a certain way. So it's got to be something to really work on. You know, we'll let MLB figure out what it is.
Right.
And then bring it out. And anybody who violates that, boom, you're gone.
Suspended.
That's all there is to it.
But I wonder.
It's really simple to fix.
Because the stuff, I can't think of the name of the stuff that they used, but they have to mix that with something else, with pine tar, so that the ball will actually leave their hands. So they've like this is like science. You know, somebody sat down and said, okay, this stuff and I'm going to mix some of this pine tar up and I'm going to get the grip. Okay, no, it's still not coming out of my hands, right? I'm going to do it again. And then
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, probably. But
he admitted to it.
I don't see why. And I know, you know, Pete Alonso talked about how, you know, baseball is manipulating the ball every year, depending on the free agent class that's coming out. But if there's a substance out there that allows you to grip the ball better, it's going to change the effect of the ball. It's going to change trajectory. It's going to change the, you know,
It's going to change
all that
it's
stuff.
Gonna
so
let you, it's going to let you command the trajectory of the ball better. Okay, it's not going to be on the ball to make the ball change either way. You know, it's not going to give the ball any special powers. It's going to give you a better grip on the ball so you can manipulate the trajectory, the speed, the angle. You can do it better. What you want is for that, not for anything to happen to the ball, anything for, you know, the ball to have any weird substance. Like spitballs, grease balls, those things, the way it slid off your hand, it made it weird, you know. But you could cheat.
Basically use Vaseline and stuff, yeah.
Vaseline, you know, whatever it is.
Put a little jalapeno on the ball.
Jalapeno, yes.
There you go. Snot could probably work.
You know, right. And
it's not my type of thing to do.
A lot of the comments are in both directions saying it can be cheating, not all batters feel that way, and all this, right? But the truth of the matter is it's something that was – yeah, there we go,
that's
baby.
That's it.
Good job, Joe. The truth of the matter is it's something that's been going on in baseball for a long time.
There he is.
Are you going to combat it? It's not steroids, right? So if it goes too far, they're getting more revolutions per minute or second or whatever they have. So if they find a medium ground where it's a grip, but it's not really enhancing their ability to spin the ball further, I think that's a good happy medium, right? Batters can use pine tar. Or pine tar is a little different because you don't want the bat flying in somebody's face. I get it, but
I'm
just saying that there's substances that are used.
It's the same thing.
Right, it's like in bowling, right? In bowling, you put some powder on your fingers. You got the rosin in baseball. You got the rosin bag by the mound. Every sport has their thing.
It could just be as simple as the rosin bag. It could just be like you have to use the rosin bag, nothing else.
Yeah,
I think. And then they change the compounds of the rosin bag. They put whatever is in there that they can use.
Rosin bag doesn't help them in the playoffs, and right out of spring training, rosin bag is more in the summertime, right? These guys want to get that grip to get that friction when they spin that ball. And they're just like going above and beyond and using science. Yeah, it's
my main pitch is a curveball. It's what I throw.
Yeah, so you know, right. So
I need the grip.
It's going to be very interesting to see how baseball handles this. But obviously, you know, they're talking about it, and spin rates are starting to go down. And yes, of course, you only hear, the douche in LA and Garrett Cole because they're the stars. But there's a ton of pitchers that are doing it, and I wish the guy that was that hit Pilar in the face was using something to keep better control. Well, and he's back up in the major leagues.
Listen, he didn't mean it. It was
no.
And listen, the poor guy.
Yeah, he's a brave, and I really felt
he just came back up. Bad for they sent him down.
Yeah, he proved himself to be a human being. Like, he really felt bad about what he did, and
even though the Braves suck,
right? Normally, I would not say anything about it. I would not call any brave human being, but you know, there it is.
Braves suck. All right, so we're coming off a long road trip, nine game road trip, in which we took 2 out of 3 from Arizona.
Pretty good.
We split in San Diego, which a lot of people didn't think was going to happen, but we played them really well, really tight. Even the two games that we lost, we were within striking distance. Absolutely. And Rodriguez, a couple of weeks ago, I said on the show, I don't remember if, for some reason, I don't remember Keith being here for that. But I said, you know, much in the way a couple of years ago when we went to Los Angeles and we lost 3 out of 4, but played them very well. That gave them the motivation and the confidence to go, you know, rattle off 17 out of 18. And so the Mets played the Padres very well. Machado and your boy, they were in there. The lineup was solid. The pitching was great on both sides. It was a good series. It was a fun series, and would like to see it again come October. Then we go to Baltimore and we split. Wow. Baltimore just come off a 17-run game, and they laid it on us the next night. Okay. And then
rookie
you almost
pitcher.
Feel bad.
Rookie
you pitcher. Almost feel bad yesterday?
No.
For Harvey?
No.
All right, good. 14 runs against the Mets this year. He's definitely struggling. The only reason why he's in the major leagues, a couple of reports out there that, you know, Baltimore is Baltimore. They're a struggling team right now, and they don't have any pitching depth.
Ali Perez might made the conversion. He needs to make that conversion and reinvent his career. It's over as a starter, bud. Give it up.
I don't even know if he can get. I don't even know if he can do an inning. So Rodriguez, you're the manager of the team, right? And you got a guy like Harvey who, for several starts in a row, has not gotten out of the third inning. He gives up a 2-run shot in the first inning yesterday, and then obviously the third inning just goes to shit for him. But is he even viable as a 1-inning pitcher now out of the pen?
I mean, I saw some good stuff from him. He just had really bad location. His fastball was at 94, 95, sometimes 97. It was crisp. It was coming in. He had a good curveball. He had a good slider. He had terrible location. Yep. He was hopping every time he threw a pitch, which was odd because I never remember him as a hopper, you know, and his stride was off. So he had really bad control issues because there were a lot of times where all he needed was a fastball on the corner and he would have got out of the inning, you know, a curveball outside, something in the ground, something low. He needed control and he didn't have it. So
are you saying he should use something to grip the ball better?
I would. Honestly, if I'm Matt Harvey, to be honest, I need that curveball to spike down. I need to make sure I hit the location. But that's different. That's the spin rate on a curveball. His stride, it was off, man. He didn't have his normal the way he used to pitch for us. It was different. I mean, you could tell he was hopping at the end. It was off, and he didn't have control. So I don't think he's lost that much that he can't be a decent pitcher nowadays, a 5-inning guy. I think he could be a 5-inning guy if he resumes his control, maybe even a 6, once in a while, 7 innings. I think he can do it because he has enough different types of pitches. He has curveball, sliders, changeup, fastball. He has them all. He just has to locate them better.
Yeah, and he came into Citi Field with a 3.7 ERA or something like that. And he at the end of last night's game, Keith, he is in. He's got the worst ERA of any starter in the league.
Yeah, I think a lot of people. I'm gonna go back a little bit, and it's Collins pushed him, or he was left too long in the baseball game for the World Series. It was the thoracic outlet. That's where it started with him. It had nothing to do with the World Series. So just a little correction for everybody to kind of get over that. He was a competitor. He was fierce. He did a great job in that game. Went a little too long. It was – he should have been pulled out, but that's not the reason why he is where he is. He's just had a unfortunate series of bad health issues. And now he's in a position where, yeah, he, like you said, Fratch, he's got the worst ERA in the game for any starter. And he really, truly needs to try to reinvent himself. He may be a really good one- or two-inning pitcher because you're gonna have a different approach to the game when you're coming in and you're only pitching one or two innings. You know, look at Lugo. Well, Lugo is probably good in both roles before. Now I think he's strictly a bullpen guy. But Lugo reinvented himself. And like I mentioned before, Oliver Perez.
Lugo had no choice. They made him into a middle reliever.
Yeah, and he thank God they did because he's big for us.
It's the best thing they could have done.
And look at like I said before, Oliver Perez. His starting career just went down the drain, reinvented himself as one of the best middle relievers, end-of-game relievers out there. Not a closer, but
listen, he could be a closer with all the pitches that he has. He could be a closer. He comes in one inning. If he comes in one inning, he throws 96, 97 for one inning, and with his curveball and with his slider, he can be a closer. You can reinvent
yourself. Now is the time for him to do that because if he keeps...
He may be too proud, dude.
That's the thing, Rodriguez.
You can take your pride and live in a corner all in the dark, all by yourself, or you can get over yourself and join the party and reinvent yourself and be a... He can have another 5, 6, 7 years in the major leagues if he's a reliever.
I still think he can be a good starter. Not 7 or 9 innings. He just doesn't have control. You could just see it. Go back to that game and watch.
He floated some pitches.
And you'll see.
He floated some pitches. I mean, who was it? Was it?
He was Alonso pushing the ball.
These pitches out there.
That's when you're pushing it, man.
And
he's pushing.
He's out of sync. He needs somebody to break down his stride again. He's got to be fluid again. He's not fluid at all.
And George said, get him some spider attack.
Get him some spider attack. Why not?
In the interview after the game, he said he's tired of pitching like shit.
Mama going to say?
You know, it's unfortunate.
Sorry, poop.
He had the potential to have a career of one, and we've heard this time and time again for many players, but he's one of them. He had the potential to have a long career. You know, there were things that were out of his control and some things that were in his control, but all that is in the past. You are where you are, and my opinion, you're no longer a starter. Reinvent yourself. Figure out what you can do because you can throw a baseball. But just maybe not for 4, 5, 6, 7 innings anymore. You know, if you take all that stuff you have and you concentrate on one or two innings, two or three times a week, you may prolong your career and make $5 to $10 million for the next 6, 7 years.
Who knows? Harvey, I'm going to be a closer. Forget that little relief.
You know, the money is a starter or
if I'm Harvey, I'm going to be anything closer. That gets me a $1 million paycheck.
He's filthy rich. He's in Connecticut. I knew his uncle. Just passed away down here in Florida. I played baseball with him.
He's hanging out with...
he's fine. He's got
money. He's a Triple H kid. Greenwich, Connecticut.
He's gone to Bobby Valentine's restaurant.
He's fine, dude. He's got money.
Triple H, you dirty jerk going to Philadelphia and doing your little thing in front of the Phillies home, the 76ers home crowd. Triple H came out to the arena and did his thing, and they did the DX, him and Joel Embiid from the 76ers.
He's a Philly fan.
I don't like it. I'm allowed to not like that.
I agree with I didn't say you didn't have a right.
He's from Connecticut. What's he doing?
Connecticut, what teams do they have?
Why Philadelphia? Why not New York? Or the Celtics?
Why anybody? They don't even have a team.
Right, they're right in the middle between the Knicks and the Celtics.
They have nothing. They're bougie. All they do is drink wine.
What do you think he roots? Who do you think he roots for baseball?
Who? Triple H?
Yeah, he'll be dead to me.
He's a skanky. He's not. A skanky. Triple H?
Oh, my God. Rodriguez ruined my whole life.
Well, he's probably a filthy.
All right.
And he's probably a Celtics fan.
I'd be probably, better off no better with like him being Hoff. A Celtics fan than a Philly. Brian Hoff sucks. All right, let's get to some updates. Mets injury updates. You know, we are constantly checking every day. Where's the next rehab? When's this guy coming back? What's going on? So roster move. Y'all know that Sam McWilliams, who we signed in the offseason to a $750,000 contract, has been claimed off waivers by the San Diego Padres. So he
got to throw strikes, douche.
He wasn't. His control was really bad. His control was awful.
Who cares if it comes back and haunts us? It's the now. It's the winning now. Get out of here,
McDonald. All right, let's talk injuries. McDonald. McWilliams. All right, Luis Guillorme. Luis Guillorme is expected to be back this weekend. Wonderful. So there's some depth there. And listen, it's going to be here. There's going to be some big decisions to be made here of who goes down, because guys are contributing left and right, and that's why the Mets are still in first place.
Whoever is playing well stays. How simple is that? Right, Keith?
That's it. There's the option game, right? So yeah. There's the options game also, where you don't have to release somebody or put them on waivers or
send
whatnot.
Them to the minors.
Yeah, if they got options, AAA. They go. All right, Mr. McNeil, the squirrel at second base, is looking like a mid to late June return. He will be starting a minor league rehab assignment this weekend. And knowing the squirrel and how he plays and how aggressive he is, they probably have to say, chill out. You don't got to run 115 miles an hour down to first base to break up a double play in the minor leagues.
Yeah, but if you heard Ron and Gary when they were in the Mets were in San Diego, they were at Shea, they said they saw McNeil shagging fly balls in the outfield and doing some reps.
That was nasty.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened at Shea, right? It happened at Shea.
It's always Shea to me. I know, you know. I call it Shea.
To the parking lot. He was shagging in the parking lot.
He was shagging in the parking lot. It's Shea. It's Shady. Shady
right.
Field.
Albert O'Mara Jr. Is expected back in the middle of June. And again, the outfield situation, you know, when as long as we're not talking about Michael Conforto, which is a late June at this point, obviously
what,
he comes right back up.
You think he's not going to come right back into that outfield spot?
No. I said without, you know, speaking of everybody else besides Conforto, everything else, center field is going to be up for grabs. Whoever's the hot hand is going to be playing center field.
Whoever's playing the best.
McKinney has been playing ridiculous ball out there. He's hitting well.
Sending Amora up and McKinney elsewhere. Because I think McKinney might have to be DFA at that point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what his option situation is, but I would love to see, honestly, because I know Amora got options. He needs to stay in AAA then, because McKinney, the amount of power, if you have him as a fourth and then eventually fifth outfield when Nimmo comes back, you have...
Nimmo's
I
not
mean,
playing the outfield.
That's, think about wait, the amount that's, of, we're going to get yeah. there, Rodriguez.
Think about the amount of depth you have with McKinney coming off the bench playing 2-3 times a week.
Sit on the bench, Nimmo.
So Conforto is looking like the latter part of this month is for his return. And then we get to Nimmo. So Brandon Nimmo, the projection is a potential late June, early July. But again, it's nerve issue in his left hand. And I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times on this show. We love Nimmo, but can he stay healthy enough to perform for us? And it's not looking good. I mean, and the first issue is his neck. But I'm not talking about the wrist thing, but the nerve stuff. It was a nerve situation in his neck. That was a couple of years ago and some of last year. Now it's a nerve issue in his left hand. So it's like, do we really even count on him coming back this year? At this point, I know that they're saying early July, but with a nerve issue, who knows? And if he comes back, Rodriguez, to your point that you were going to say,
I was going to say that he's not having simple hamstring pulls, he's not having little aches and pains, he's having nerve issues, he's having neck issues. Okay, he's not a full-time player. That's all there is to it. I'm not downgrading his skills. He's a fantastic player when he's healthy. He can get on base, and he can play a decent outfield. He's got some pop. He's a great team guy, great hustler when he's healthy. But if he's not healthy enough to be a full-timer, keep him on the bench. I personally think him coming off the bench is a hell of a lot better than Guillorme. I mean, and even some, and I used to think he's better than Almora, the center fielder guy. He's a good guy coming off the bench to hit. So put him where he needs to be, on the bench.
He's a guy coming off the bench that should really be a starter if he didn't have health issues. So that's an amazing position to be in if you're the Mets. I mean, a platoon situation for somebody like Nimmo is – yeah, I was just rewording it because what you were saying is, you know, he should come off the bench, and I'm saying that he should be – he should be a starter if it wasn't for his health issues. So that's pretty fortunate of us to have that. And to have him with a platoon situation, to your point, is – pretty damn good, you know. Put him out there 60 to 80 games, somebody else to play the other games that he's not in, and you have a good duo, you know.
Yeah,
you need to get true center fielder though, because to me he's not a true center fielder.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, you know, he's a likable guy, he's a guy that you can root for, but we got to root for the guys who are playing on the field. Next up is JD Davis.
Has Lindor taking the time off, a day off?
Well, yeah, I think say one or two.
I think one. Was on the back end of a doubleheader.
Yeah, he's playing every day, basically. Yeah. They need to let Peralta or Villar play a shortstop every once in a while. Let Lindor sit. I'm sorry. Let health issues. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're good. JD Davis, there's still some lingering inflammation there. And again, we're fortunate enough to be able to sustain a JD Davis injury and inflammation or whatnot, because you got VR over there, and then Guillorme is going to come back this weekend for defensive help over there as well. So
I know, but JD's an offensive machine, guys. You guys know that he can hit when he's on. He's doing really well. He can hit. He's a 300 hitter, 20 home run power if he was there every day, but he's a bubble butt.
I would love to see the differential of runs saved, him not playing a third, and runs produced with him being in the offense. I would imagine
that's we're better him with VR, him, but, right?
Yeah,
I mean, if JD Davis is playing every day, I would assume 80 to 90 RBIs. I don't think he's costing us 90 runs a year.
No, absolutely not.
No. But it would be an interesting stat. It would be an interesting stat to look at. Just
that would be really bad.
Yeah,
that'd be rough.
Yeah.
All right, and then you got guys like Tommy Hunter, who pitched okay, pitched actually well.
He's in the Mets
for us in the pen. And a guy like Tommy Hunter back is good issue. To have to come right. Yes, he had a lower back issue. A guy like Tommy Hunter that can perform out of the pen is good to have in AAA. For, you know, depth reasons. And so with the pen the way it's constructed right now, you know, Tommy Hunter is not needed at this moment. He would stay, my assumption is, in Syracuse and come up when needed. Then you got Carrasco and Syndergaard. Carrasco is still talking about midseason, so early July. Syndergaard, they're talking about middle August. We'll see.
That's a hell of a leg issue. Jesus Christ, Carrasco.
I know the hammy. I don't know if they're being super, super cautious.
Well, he's been sick, right? He's been sick for a couple of years.
Also, that too.
So maybe.
Yeah, you know, but if there's more to it than meets the eye, to Rodriguez's point, because you got a little hammy, you got this, and all of a sudden it's another week, another 2 weeks, another 3 weeks. He'll be back by May. He'll be back by June. He'll be back when now? Who knows? And you know, as
you
Mets
could
fan,
do
you
a hammy in 4 weeks.
You get
I've
that,
done it.
You get that well, bad taste of Lowry, Mike Lowry, in your mouth.
Mike Lowry.
Oh my God! Really?
Oh boy!
What is he doing? Now? He's batting like 400 for the A's.
No,
right?
He's like batting 220, something like that. He fell off. Yeah.
He's looking it up now.
I am.
No, I know. I know. I was going to look it up, and I saw you looking down. So, you know, and for Carrasco, they had him up in simulated games up to six innings, and so that's why it was pretty stunning back then to see him take a step back. But, you know, as it stands right now, team is in first place. We gotta you know, just make it through this rain. Dylan Betances, there's absolutely no update on him. He's eligible to return on June. He was eligible to return 3 days ago.
He's throwing every 3 days.
Yep.
They're gonna keep him doing that.
Yeah,
that's so what they, I read.
I hope they keep him doing that until November, and then that's it.
If he gets it, they're looking to get his velocity back up. It's not, if it doesn't come back up, then they're just gonna probably have to DFA him.
So just real quick, go ahead, Rodriguez. I'm sorry.
No, but he needs to get his velocity up, basically. So
I was just gonna revisit Lowry. 261 batting average, 341 on base, 4 homers, 29 RBIs. He's been playing just about every day, if not.
Of course that, he is. Of course he is.
Of course he is.
59 games. He's already like multiplied by 59.
He had eight at bats for us, or eight plate appearances, whatever it was.
In 2 years, right?
Two seasons. And then all of a sudden, he's fine. I'm back with Oakland. I'm healthy.
Wow. He's got 232 plate appearances for the.
Should we sue Brody on that?
Yeah, we really should. No, that was the cronyism crap. I'm sorry.
It kind of feels like he said, you know what? I know you're hurt. Come, we'll sign you for a couple of years. You recover.
Give me 10%.
Give me 10% of what do you get? 20 million?
Yep.
2 years, 20 million.
Guess $2 or $3 million.
Oh, boy.
In his pocket. I think Brody's a crook.
Just wear
you heard it here first. Palachi said cast. Brody's a crook.
Wait, was the body cast on his left or right? Because I want to make sure.
See, it was his whole left side.
Oh, so he can jerk himself and us off at the same time.
And he should, too.
All right, and then the final update is Jose Martinez, who can play multiple positions and, you know, could have been very useful right now through all these injuries, but we'll see what happens. He should be back right after the All-Star break or capable of being back right after the All-Star break.
He's not a bad little player, you know. He's a solid player. He played for the Cardinals, so he's pretty decent. Good power, play outfield and first, I think.
Yep. Yeah, he can play outfield and first base. And, of course, if we, you know, DH every now and then. All right. Here's the next thing, and I want to lead this off. I want Rodriguez to kind of dive into this thing. So as we kind of get closer to some of these guys coming back, pitchers and whatnot, and the rotation kind of, you know, coming together, there's going to be decisions that need to be made. Right now, there's 32 games or 33 or 34 games and 31 days. So out of necessity, I believe both of these guys are going to continue to pitch in the rotation in some way, shape, or fashion. But as we kind of trickle out of this period, Lucchese versus Peterson, and coming into the season, we were high on Peterson. And something went wrong along the way, mechanics, whatnot. But as of right now, I would think we would all choose Lucchese over Peterson in, you know, on the last 3 or 4 starts or so. Rodriguez, what does Peterson have to do? And are you noticing anything? What does he have to do to maybe even reclaim his spot in the rotation if, in the minds of a lot of people, he may have lost it already? He's gone. And there goes Mr. Rodriguez. So, do we want to read his mind and start talking about what he might have been thinking there?
Well, I can give you my opinion real quick, and I would just say that he does need a and we talked about this quickly in our group chat.
Swift kick in the butt.
He needs a Traxel treatment. He needs to go down and kind of reevaluate himself and start focusing on his pitches. Yep, there we go.
Hey.
How perfect was that? The second I opened my mouth, the whole thing goes down. I'm like, what just happened? Bleep. Who cut me out? Was that producer Joe? You can come out.
I'll
let him out.
No, don't let him. Don't give in to his demands. You can't.
Get back in there.
Yeah. You know, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
We don't count to terrorists.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So Lucchese and Peterson.
Oh, Lucchese and Peterson.
You were saying.
So I was trying to say, I think, that I think Peterson has lost control of his pitching repertoire. He has to stay down, and he has to stay low, and he has to hit those corners. Occasionally, he can come up and in, but he has to pitch. Remember how Sid Fernandez used to pitch? Remember how he used to come as a lefty, and he used to pit down real low? As big as he was yeah. down there, okay? And his ball jumped at you. And he wasn't throwing that hard, because every time they put the gun on him, he was throwing 92, 93.
But then he'd hit you with that high fastball.
Then he hit you with the high fastball because he was able to make it rise. That's what Peterson has to do. He has to stay outside with his fastball, throw his curveball in and out, and then hit that fastball inside and just make it rise. Just move that ball around, but he's lost control. Lucchese, I don't know. He's definitely a guy that has to stay at the bottom of the zone, because that curveball comes up with that slurve nonsense, and his 90-mile-an-hour fastball stays up in that zone, they're going to rock him. So he has to stay down and move his fastball around too, and be very smart with it. Don't showcase it too much. Make guys fish. Lefties, you know, they have it. They no matter what they do, no matter what garbage they do, they can get by. But if you're throwing the ball meat down the middle, lefty or not, they're gonna rock you. So I think Lucchese has the upper hand. They're doing this. This is what they do, the Mets, right? Don't they do this type of thing or something like that?
Because the official score. The official scorer will not recognize the CHIRV as a real pitch.
So they're doing it.
So they're trying to. So yes.
How bad does Peterson feel then? He's losing to this guy.
It's all the time. They hit a double there.
Just does that. And Peterson's like this.
Do you guys miss the salt and pepper shaker?
No.
Nah.
I don't, because that was the season that collapse happened.
I don't miss any of that stuff. I'd be like
Todd Frazier. He's on the USA team.
You know what I miss? Playing in the playoffs and being a threat to be in the World Series and win it all. That's what I miss.
Tell him, Keith. Tell him. Exactly what we need.
Tell him, Keith.
And you're saying it's because of the CHIRV, and that's what somebody else said. But they were doing it last night too when somebody hit a home run.
No, I'm saying that they do it for everything. That's the motivation.
That's the new mantra now. So they can't even.
It's always
got to
be something. It's the wave.
They can't even send Lucchese down. They can't even send him down. No.
No.
The whole team is built on him now, like doing this or whatever the hell they do.
Bohan, 100%. Need the playoffs. Give me the bring the playoffs to me.
Yeah, we'll take our chances there with the Grominator.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. For sure.
And Mr. Swagger.
Keith.
Tom.
Mr. Laris. So. You know, based off what Rodriguez just said, and you got Lucchese and Peterson, and then, you know, you got Syndergaard and you got Carrasco kind of up in the air. Let's just say, for just the sake of this argument, those two guys, the guys who are hurt, they say, you know what, we don't want to take our chances long term. We're shutting them down. Do you start looking at the trade market to look at some veteran guys, or even maybe a star pitcher out there? What are your thoughts on that?
I think you always have to be open to that. Depends where you are and where in terms of making it to the playoffs and how far you think you can make it. Right now we're in first place. If we're still in first place and that kind of decision comes up, and it's a matter of us keeping the team in first place and then driving us further into the playoffs with a potential World Series win or appearance, yes, you got to explore that. You cannot leave that on the table. You doesn't mean do it, you know, but look what happened in 2015, right? We went and got, not going to name
it. Role players.
We went and got a role player, specific role player, who was huge to us at that time. Turned out to be a disaster down the line, but I mean, without him, well, I don't know without him, but he was definitely a huge part of driving us into that next level and getting into the playoffs, even though he played soccer in the outfield during the World Series. But he, you know, that's the kind of thing you got to look for. You got to look for, hey, we have a deficiency here. We have a chance to run at it. And at that point, you go for it. Pull that trigger. Yeah.
Yankee. So I'm just going to throw out some names that are being rumored to be on the trade market.
Nope. Say no to the first one right now.
No, I'm not going Trevor Story or anything like that. Or I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the former Met that was a crybaby.
Nah, definitely not. That's the
one. Because there's a rumor out there that the Tigers and the Mets are potential good fits for Asdrubal Cabrera. And I think
the
ship has sailed, right? Yeah,
go back. That ship has sailed. See you in Detroit. Good luck.
So you got some guys that are, you know, outfielder depth or from a pitching standpoint, you got guys like there's not big names out there, so I don't think that like Bohan said, we're not gonna be clearing out the farm system for a rental. But it's guys like Ian Kennedy who's pitched well but is pitching for a non-contending team. Our former guy, Michael Fulmer, is on the trade market right now as a closer. We traded him as a pitcher. I feel like, you know, we could judge that trade now. Michael Fulmer for Yoenis Cespedes. Cespedes got us into the playoffs.
We won.
Okay.
And we could get him back real cheap for the bullpen.
Imagine him and he's pitched well. Rodriguez, what do you think about a guy like Michael Pineda? He's signed through the end of next season. He's pitched well for the Twins, who are surprisingly shitty. Like, where did that come from? They're now 22-31. So, and he's pitched well. So he's a prime trade candidate. So what do you think about somebody like him?
Is he an innings guy? How many innings has he pitched?
Let me take a look for you.
Has he been hurt? Because I remember him being hurt early on. But he has pitched well for them, and he's a decent pitcher. He's
average. He's just above average innings pitched. It's just over five, which I'm sorry, Rodriguez. I know that hurts you to say, but that's the average throughout baseball.
That's horrible.
So this year he's 3-3, a 3.46 ERA. 3.46? I know he got roughed up. 3.46. He got roughed up in one outing this year. He had been well below three before that.
Love the ERA. Love it. What type of pitcher is he? Is he a fastball slider guy?
He's a fastball. He's a slider guy. You remember he's from the Yankees. He's the guy who they took out of the game.
I didn't want to say that name.
All right. And then that makes me not want him. He's got 14 walks, 50 strikeouts.
Wow, that's a lot of walks.
And
so he's nibbling, huh? He's a nibbler.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a fastball anymore. Well, and you're basically getting like a shittier version of Stroman.
Yeah, no, I'm talking strictly if Syndergaard and Carrasco, they say worst case scenario, they say all right, we're shutting them down for this year.
Well,
so now you're either
depend on where Peterson and Lucchesi is, right?
Yep.
If they're there and they're doing their job. You know,
yeah. Until Carrasco and Thor come back, you really have to just consider them not being on a team this year. And when they come back, you fit them in. But I don't think
told you guys Thor wasn't going to
bank on them. I don't think you bank on them being on the lineup. Like, we'll have Thor back in August or Carrasco back in July. When they're back, they're back. Till then, we have to plan accordingly. That's my take on all of that.
Can we bring up, I know Producer Joe's got a graphic for us, according to Robert Flores of MLB Network, the pitching power rankings. Number one, well, let's count backwards for everybody on the podcast, all right? Number five is Jacob DeGrom. It might be a surprise that he's number five on this list. Number four.
Pretty low.
Jacob Anthony DeGrom.
That guy's better.
He's a little slightly better, right?
Slightly.
Number three. Number three is DeGrom, Jacob.
He's pretty good too, though.
He puts a little bit more.
He throws a little harder, I think. Yeah.
Number two is Jay DeGrom. Keith, what do you think about him?
He's pretty good. I do have some exception with this list, though, so I'll let you finish.
All right. Okay. I mean, not every list is perfect, you know. And number one, the number one pitcher in all of baseball, according to Robert Flores, who is great at the job that he does. He's great at his job, does a fantastic job, and he's got he's got a lot of nice ties. You know, wardrobe is fantastic.
Related to Wilmer. He's related to Wilmer.
Wilmer! All right, and number one on the list, Jacob.
Nope, see, okay. This is all wrong. Jacob needs to be number five. Jacob DeGrom needs to be number two. Jay DeGrom needs to be off the list. And number two needs to be the DeGrominator. Where is the DeGrominator on here?
That's true.
Freaking joke. Good job, Flores. You got four to five right. I give you the credit,
whoa,
bro.
Wow,
my God. Producer Joe, can Producer Joe reach out to Mr. Flores and see if we can get the DeGrominator put on that list instead? Terzio, you're an hour late, Terzio. What are you doing?
I think he's saying we're late. Yep.
No.
We were tracking down our special guest, your ex-wife, but she declined.
All right. Don't
tell Terzio wife jokes until Terzio has the first one.
Terzio's going to do it.
Terzio's got to be ready.
All right. Let's get to another one of our sponsors real quick, and then we'll touch upon another item or two, and then get up on out of here. Let's talk about Sterling's Paradise. Sterling's Paradise is authentic and ridiculously good Haitian food. They are located down here in South Florida at 360 State Road 7 in Margate. And I could really use some of that right now, actually.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, daily lunch specials. And the phone number is 754-205-2637. And for those of you on the podcast, we'll revisit that one more time. 754-205-2637. Again, that's Sterling Paradise. Get your food, man. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Terzio said, my ex-wife stopped the flight from American Airlines from Florida to New York 2.5 hours late. Okay. We blame it on the ex-wife. She put the...
There you go.
The voodoo. All right.
Gets around.
Real quick, what do you think happens tomorrow? So tomorrow night, the Padres are in town. Do we get a surprise black jersey appearance?
Oh. What do you think, Keith? No?
Come on. Give it to us, baby.
What makes you think there'll be a surprise black jersey?
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know. It's that's not the next game, is it? Yeah, it is. It's the Grom night. It's we're back home. We're in first place.
Wow.
The first time 34,000 people are going to be there. Let's do it, Cohen. Let's do it.
You know what? You need to send that plea out. Joe, producer Joe, put a poll out. Take your
Let's
poll
do it.
And put it out. And poll the audience out.
Don't get us in trouble.
Yeah.
And just say.
Joe, throw a Dom poll out there. See if we're going to have.
Throw your poll out there.
Black jerseys.
And say, all right, let's go through this.
Black jerseys.
I feel that this would be the perfect timing for black jerseys. Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman. Just get the black jersey going.
The black hat.
Blast
dude.
From the past.
The black hat.
Piazza, Wright, the black hat. And we just beat these guys into submission. And we start tomorrow night. Jacob DeGrom, 5-2, a .62 ERA. Did you see the comparisons between him and Gibson and the pace that he's on? .62 ERA, which is just ridiculous. He goes up against Blake Snell, who pitched well his first outing against the Mets.
Did he now, Farachi?
He
you
did.
Like that guy. That's your guy.
I don't. He's it's a 4.83 ERA, slightly above that Jacob DeGrom. Game two is Mr. No-Hitter, Joe Musgrove. Of course he does. Joe Musgrove. And this is a little bit surprising with a team that is in close to first place, has done well, 2.33 ERA and a 4-5 record. That's like Mets. That's a Mets
that's Craig
scenario
Swan.
There. Yeah. Or Craig, yeah. So... You know, 4-5, 2.33 ERA, obviously that was helped out a whole hell of a lot by that no-hitter. He goes against Stroman, who is 5-4, 2.41 ERA. And, you know, if you just look at the game logs there, you can see Stroman has been the more consistent by far over Musgrove.
But we're not a homer.
So no, I mean a 2.33 ERA is 4-5, and he's got the no hitter. Stroman's been pretty consistent there.
I'm with you with Stroman. I'm just saying,
yeah.
Just rally up.
I would never be a homer.
No,
remember, even keel. No matter what kind of start we got on, I've been even keel, and you can't say that I haven't. And your boy, Chris Paddock. Oh, he's at Citi Field, and he talked so much crap a couple years ago about not being the rookie of the month. Crybaby. 2-5, 4.27 ERA against Joey Lucchese, who we've been talking about. 1-4, 5.79 ERA. But you can see his last three starts, a 1.46 ERA. This is good, but it's also disappointing. Threw a season high 4 2/3 inning last time out. So. That's a season high.
It doesn't mean I have to start or miss the fantasy. I know what you're getting at. Let it go.
Pete Alonso needs to calm it down. What's the score in your game, Laris, with producer Joe? I'm getting whooped. That's all I know.
Because
Pete Alonso would stop hitting dongs
every day. I would not worry about my team. Trust me.
2 days in a row, I got negative 12 points for a pitcher. I don't appreciate that at all. All right. Well, Keith, you look that up because I do want to. We have two civil wars going on in our fantasy. 220
to 186 New York Metsies.
See, I'm getting whooped though. I'm getting hurt. Frank, you gotta listen.
I was
0-7
for Archie.
You were like the Mets. You had injuries. Now I got six guys on the injured list.
I still have four guys on the IL.
I just whooped. Who did I whoop?
Just a better manager.
Camus? Ed?
Oh, you beat Ed. Ed's a Yankee fan.
And I think Ed beat me the week before because Garrett Cheater Spider Attack Hole threw
should
a
I remove
hitter,
those points?
And if you did, I would have beaten him by over 100 points.
He should
he only
never
beat
win
me by like 20
game.
Points. Because of that crap.
Skanky.
Well, okay, so this leads us down a cool little path here. Terzio, just to answer you real quick, JD Davis, he's still got some swelling. We'll chuck on with Adam.
TBD.
So this leads us to a good avenue here. That might help. As we close this bad boy out, we put a big old blue and orange ribbon on it. We'll go round Robin here. But Keith, I don't know. I don't know what your focus is going to be like. Is it going to be real baseball related? I see it bleeding into fantasy a little bit. Where's that focus? Or you can focus that one person and do
don't
both real and fantasy.
Don't coax them into bad stuff.
Well, here's the thing. So the focus of power is limited, right? And I have to concentrate it. It's a weekly thing. And if I split my Fakata, it weakens the Fakata effect.
Okay. Okay. So you gotta concentrate. It's gotta be
right.
Concentrated.
So Joe's not worth my Fakata. I'm gonna beat him anyway. So I am gonna go ahead. A web Fakata here.
You can't talk bad about the producer. He's got the power.
I have to throw a web.
Is this my fault?
I told you not to coax him.
We got a Mets logo now, though. Oh, there he is.
No, yeah, I went off the screen because until Joe accepts the fact that he sucks, I'm going to beat him.
No, what are you doing? You know? We're never going to get this fucked out.
There.
In all honesty, you deserve that.
Who are you talking to, Joe or Keith?
Keith.
Oh, be careful.
Yeah, no, I'm never gonna offend the producer.
Do not offend the producer.
Joe is a walking Fakata now. Joe,
dude, I stop it.
I'm gonna go ahead and say the entire organization of San Diego This is a big series, San Diego. Even though we got four against the Cubs,
this is a big month.
We got something to prove right here against San Diego because they could be potentially the team we play in the playoffs. So, fuck it, San Diego. You whole entire team, Paddock, you little talking bitch. I hope you all suck. I hope you all don't sleep well. I hope you come to New York, get drunk all night, and play that crap the next day. Let's go, Mets. We're going to sweep you. I'm really thinking 2 out of 3. Maybe sweep. Who knows? 1 out of 3. Who knows? But either way, I don't want to give away my prediction.
You went really off the rails there.
We're going to get sweep, possible. Get swept, and then 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3. Who knows? But Wakata San Diego, especially Machado, especially Tatis.
Who we once Wakata. Called Mets Show. We once called Mets Chato on this show.
That would have been nice, though.
Yeah, but now he's Bichado. Now he's fucking.
He's also batting He's also batting like 235 or something.
Yeah, well, fuck it, that's his ass.
He's still a great. He's still a great
wait till you feel the wrath of the DeGrominator and strike out 3 times, baby. Woo! Let's go Mets. That's my fuck it.
Very well done. Very well done,
Rodriguez. What you got?
What do I gotta say after that? Yeah, you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose. Who shot the sheriff? Isn't Paddock the sheriff guy? Pete Alonso shot the sheriff, right? He was calling himself the sheriff when he came out.
Yeah,
he was calling himself the sheriff. Pete Alonso is going to hit a couple of home runs off of you. You're going to shut your stupid mouth and not worry about it, okay? I think we'll take 2 out of 3 this time from them. I think we can. I think we can. I think we take 2 out of 3. I'm going to go on record, 2 out of 3.
Home sweet home, baby.
Let's go Mets.
15-5 at Citi Field. I'm very proud of this team for that.
It's a very good team. It's a very good home team.
And we've been waiting for this kind of thing because it's kind of like been, you know, 500 in each side, you know, road and home. Producer Joe, any closing words here? What happened to Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Weasels? The weasels have right now.
2 out of 3. Mets take 2 out of 3 from the Padres. Definitely.
Deuces.
Terzio, no. Todd Frazier is on Team USA right now. He will not be cited in a Mets uniform.
No, he will not.
Ever again.
He's cited in a Team USA uniform.
He's a double A ball
player. He was actually cited at a local Duffy's with Terzio's ex-wife, I think.
Ba-da-bum.
I like it.
All right, so look, head out to the ballpark. If you're near the stadium, head out to the ballpark. 34,000 allowed as of tomorrow, and then in about a little bit less than a month, they're going to go full capacity. And giveaways start again tomorrow. First giveaway of the season is Jeff McNeil bobblehead. So if any of you fine people that are watching this show want to send us a few bobbleheads.
Four to the show. There you go.
Four
of them.
You want one?
Oh. Wait, Rodriguez, do you allow like...
I mean,
do you allow him to have toys there?
Well, it's the only thing that keeps him happy when he's at night by himself.
Do you let him watch the games?
No.
Ooh. Wow, no. Evil. You know, not that. I would love to really see the full capacity allowable tomorrow with DeGrom out there. Not that our influence is so big that we can make people go, but I would love to see the full allowable capacity out there for DeGrom and just super loud and
go
shake the stadium
game.
And scare the Fuakata out of Fuakata into those Padres.
Let's
and
see
just
that.
Yell Fuakata at the Padres. Yell it. We'll know.
That's it.
We'll be watching.
Fuakata.
Just get Fuakata.
Fuakata.
Terzio, that's a great point. Imagine Diaz, the one right before that.
Yeah,
producer Tommy, Joe.
The song, Diaz song.
Imagine Edwin Diaz coming in and they played Tommy Trumpet in front of 34,000. They're gonna go nuts. You know, if this is a nice tight ball game, which it should be with DeGrom out there, then you get the bullpen that's been electric, and then we will finally get. You finally get that moment of a save by Diaz pumping the fist and the crowd goes nuts. It's going to mean goosebumps all over. All right. So that wraps it up for us. Hell of a month coming up for this team. Padres, four with the Cubs after that. Then 4 with the Nationals, then 4 with the Braves, and 5 with the Phillies, and then 1 more with the Nationals, and 2 more with the Braves.
God. More games and days between now and the All-Star break.
That is accurate.
Let's see what we got.
We'll let you all know when we will come at you next week, because we've got a few different options that are not the best. We'll be your pregame show for one of those Mets-Cubs games. But for myself, for Keith, for Rodriguez, and for producer Joe back there, welcoming him back from a vacay, we will talk to you guys next week. Join us in the group. We have a lot of fun in there, and I'm loving the interaction in there. A lot of people going nuts in there, and some great artistic renditions of the three of us in the group. We appreciate that, Mr. Gines. Until next week.
Absolutely.
Peace out, everybody.
Put it in the books.